Please join me in the call to worship. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who take refuge in God. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, no matter what you have done or failed to do, God waits to welcome you home. With faith in God's endless mercy and trust in God's boundless love, let us call to mind and confess our sins, first in the silence of our hearts and then together. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear friends in Christ, there is nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. The God of grace has had mercy upon us, has forgiven us all our sins, has strengthened us in all goodness, and has shown us the path into eternal life. Amen. People of God, Christ said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be always with you."
And also with you.
Let us give to one another a sign of Christ's peace. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Steph Grisano. I'm a seminarian here in the Memorial Church, and it is my pleasure to welcome you this morning. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you believe, no matter who you love, and no matter how you're joining us this morning, whether online, on the radio, or here in our sanctuary, we are so grateful to have you joining us this morning. Today is the second Sunday of Easter, Our preacher is the Reverend Alana Sullivan. Our worship leaders are the Reverend Dr. Calvin Jones, myself, and Elizabeth Probst. Elizabeth will be reading the first lesson, and Ashley O'Donnell will be reading the second lesson. Our music this morning is provided by the University Choir, led by Ed Jones, and accompanied by David Von Baron. Our Noble Lecture will take place this coming Friday, April 12th at 6 p.m. Our special guest is Ruth Ozeki, the New York Times best-selling author, filmmaker, and Zen Buddhist priest. This semester, we have read her novels, A Tale for the Time Being and The Book of Form and Emptiness. She will share her story and insights in conversation with Rebbe Matthew Ichihashi Potts and the professor Duncan Ryunkin Williams. All are welcome to join. At this time, we welcome all children who would like to participate in church school to follow our church school teachers. The church school is a nurturing Christian environment that strives to honor the intelligence, creativity, and diversity of the children in our care. To learn more, please reach out to Reverend Jones. Lastly, we will not be having coffee hour following our service today. We are giving our staff a break after Holy Week and Easter services last week. So please join us next week downstairs in the Student Oasis after service for a time of fellowship and refreshments. For more information about these happenings in the life of the Memorial Church, or to learn more about our programs and services, please visit our website or sign up for our newsletter. Our offering this week and every week goes to support the work of this church, especially our ministries to students and to our neighbors in need through the Grants Committee. For those who prefer to donate online, we want to direct your attention to the QR code on the flap inside of the offering envelopes. The collection will now begin from the front of the sanctuary. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
You may be seated. A reading from the first letter of John, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Here ends the lesson.
The sun is bright, the moon A reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, beginning at the 19th verse. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. When the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord," but he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my fingers in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. It is said that seeing is believing. And certainly, there is trust to that. Our scripture today, however, reminds us that sometimes believing is seeing. The disciples find themselves in a complicated, murky, and messy time. After seeing the empty tomb and hearing the news of Jesus' resurrection, they have locked themselves in a room, fearful of what awaits them on the other side. And it is here that Jesus comes to them. At first, they don't recognize him. They do not until Jesus reveals his wounds. He then bestows mercy onto them and asks them to share his message of grace, love, and peace with the world. It's easy to dismiss the disciples for not recognizing Jesus at first. Yet, how many of us have found ourselves disoriented and wandering at times? At moments, we are overwhelmed by life, and we end up doing something that we regret. At moments, we fail to recognize ourselves, let alone those around us. And hearing good news does not necessarily erase our fear, especially when we are filled with doubt and anxiety. So it's not all too surprising that a week later, the disciples find themselves in the exact same place, hiding away together in the same house, behind the same shut door, overcome by the same fears. So Jesus comes again. This time, Thomas is with the disciples. He missed their first encounter with Jesus and did not believe them. In other moments of the gospel story, Thomas has revealed to be a practical guy. So his response to their news sounds like the Thomas they know. Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and I put my finger in the marks of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Can one blame him for needing some reassurance and certainty during this complicated, murky, messy time? After all, seeing is believing. What I find surprising is not Thomas's doubt, but the sharing of his doubt publicly. He is not afraid to display his vulnerability. And what's more, the community of disciples don't rebuke him for doing so. Even in their own fearful state, they allow him to articulate his uncertainty without fear of mockery or retaliation. So when Jesus comes again, bolstered by the community's support and care, Thomas accepts God's presence in their midst. Jesus invites him, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it at my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And it's then that Thomas exclaims, "My Lord, my God," in recognition. In addition to his vulnerability, Thomas reassures us faith doesn't have to be straightforward. Writer Debbie Thomas observes, "Rarely does change happen all at once. Often it creeps along, ever so slowly and gradually. Comes in sideways and in fits and starts. Anyone who has battled an addiction, stuck it out in a challenging relationship, or lived with chronic illness knows conversion is a lifelong process." Thomas reveals that it is okay for us to take our time. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay for us to wander. It's okay for us to hope for more. This is a story about God coming to us wherever and however we might be. So, how do we know if God arrives in our own lives? I believe that the authors of John offer two clues, if we have encountered God. First, Jesus says, "Peace be with you," when the disciples react with fear and Thomas reacts with doubt upon their first meeting after the resurrection. When life feels unmoored, our bodies are shaky, our souls are weary, our guards are up, Christ does not arrive with an argued defense or a rationalized response. Rather, he comes with a surprising proclamation of peace and touching love. Second, after Jesus says, "Peace be with you," it is quickly followed by an invitation to see his innermost parts. The scripture says that with the disciples, he showed them his hand and his side. And a second time with Thomas, Jesus invited him to put his fingers through his wounds. There is hardly a breath between the comforting words of Jesus and the revealing of those wounds. The peace of Christ is tethered to the wounds of Christ. Theologian Serene Jones shares this story, affirms that God comes in those moments when peace is offered, in those moments when life's most brutal violence is honestly acknowledged, and when in the midst of confronting this bracing honesty, we realize we are not alone. Christ's resurrected body is not unblemished, without any sign of the trauma it has endured. Christ's healing does not mean that his body returns to its former state. Rather, Christ's resurrected body, wounded and healed, reminds us that some pain, some trauma, will always stay with us. Our wounds are not pretty, and they certainly are not the whole story of who we are, but they are honest, and in that way can be seen as holy. Lutheran minister Nadia Bolz Weber founded a mission church in Denver called the House for All Sinners and Saints, affectionately known as the House. She has become a leading voice in the emergent church movement. She tells a story about how her own alternative understanding of church was challenged. When her church started out, her congregants were what she described as hip, urban young adults. About 2 years after she planted her church, the Denver Post ran a front page above the fold story about Pastor Nadia preaching at Easter. At that time, they only had about 40 to 45 people attending. And the next week, the house doubled in size. Pastor Nadia really struggled with this spike in attendance. She reflects, I freaked out. They could show up to any mainline Protestant church in the city and see a room full of people that looked just like them. Why are they coming? We were excited because we were really struggling to grow. But these were the wrong kind of people. I mean, the wrong kind of different for us. Some churches might freak out if drag queens showed up, but these were bankers wearing Dockers. So she decided to schedule a meeting to talk about the demographic change in their community. They had the meeting. Pastor Nadia told the newcomers about the story of the church's history, and the newcomers in turn told who they were and why they were there. Near the end of the meeting, Asher, a longtime member, said, "Look, as the young trans kid who was welcomed into this community, I just want to go on the record saying, I'm glad there's people who look like my mom and dad here, because they love me in a way that my mom and dad can't." Asher's vulnerable sharing laid bare the truth that we all need to be loved. And we might be surprised about where that love comes from if we're open to receive it. Honesty is sometimes an invitation for the holy. And admissions like Asher's become an extension of grace to those around us. They have the power to unlock places within our hearts that we are too afraid to share with ourselves, let alone one another. The passing of the peace is one of our beloved liturgical traditions. The ritual goes back to biblical times. What might it be if we took cues from Jesus in the sharing of that peace? Peace be with you. And I am tired from staying up all night worrying. Peace be with you. And I yelled at my child this morning. Peace be with you. And I'm addicted to alcohol. Peace be with you. And I am all alone. The peace of which Christ offers is not one absent of conflict, not one that ignores our brokenness, not one that turns away from our pain. In fact, this is exactly where Christ will meet us to provide us assurance and care and compassion. Perhaps that is why God's peace surpasses all understanding, because we come to experience Christ's love where we least expect it. Believing in Christ's love, we are better able to see it at work around us. So yes, sometimes believing is seeing. The peace Jesus announces is also not one to be left behind locked doors. God calls us to share it with the world. Yet even if we are scared and fearful, with the doors of our hearts locked, trying to protect us from the pain and suffering of this world, God will still find us. Peace be with you. I am here. Thanks be to God. And will you please stand as you are able to sing the hymn, "Come Ye Faithful, Raise the Strain," hymn number 164.
Thank you. may be seated. The candidates for holy baptism will now be presented.
We present Cole James O'Donnell and Zachary Rava O'Donnell.
We present
Vivian Long. Amen. To the parents, godparents, and grandparents, will you be responsible for seeing that these children you present are brought up in the Christian faith and life? Will you, by your prayers and witness, help them to grow into the full stature of Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Do you renounce all sinful powers that draw you from the love of God? Do you put your whole trust in God's grace and love?
I do.
To the congregation, please answer by saying, "We will." Will all of you who witness these vows do everything in your power to support these children in their lives in Christ?
We will.
Let us join with those who are committing themselves to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God, the Father, creator of heaven and earth?
I believe in God, our creator.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who healed the sick, welcomed the outcast, and preached good news to the poor, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, died, and was buried, who descended to the dead, and on the third day rose again?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit, the Church Universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting?
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in the prayers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you preserve in resisting all that draws you from God's love, and whenever you fail, repent and make amends?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help.
Let us now pray for these children who are to receive the sacrament of new birth.
Please join me in praying for our baptismal candidates, responding with the words, "Lord, hear our prayer." Open their hearts, O God, to your grace and truth. Lord, hear our prayer. Fill them with your holy and life-giving spirit. Lord, hear our prayer. Teach them to love others in the power of the Spirit. Lord, hear our prayer. Send them into the world and witness to your love.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Bring them into the fullness of your peace and glory.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And let us pray together the words Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
We thank you, loving Creator, for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it, your son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. We thank you, Almighty God, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we bring you into his fellowship those who come to him in faith, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now sanctify this water, we pray you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those who here are cleansed from sin and born again may continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Lord. To him, with him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Zachary, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good job, dude. Cole.
Hi, Cole.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 Hey, Vivian.
Vivian Long. I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit, you have bestowed upon these your servants the indelible mark of your abiding grace, and have renewed the communion of all your saints through the gifts of these children and their baptisms. Sustain them, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give them inquiring and discerning hearts, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. Amen.
Amen.
Zachary, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever and ever. Cole, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever and ever. Amen.
Vivian, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever and ever. Amen.
Let us welcome the newly baptized. Let us continue our worship by singing the hymn, O Sons and Daughters, Let Us Sing, hymn number 168.
as we go into this day, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord grant you peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen.